Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.
Well, happy Monday, everyone, and thank you so much for tuning in to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill. Today, before we get started, we'd like to take a moment to thank our sponsors, the folks over at Markham Search, LLC. Markham Search offers premier professional recruiting services throughout the United States, and their recruiters recognize the importance of working closely with the job seeker as well as the client to make a lasting match for both parties. So a special thank you to them for making today's show possible. Today we have with us on the show, David Guillaume. David is a self-made millionaire at 15 years old and was immersed in the investment world and medical field before experiencing a roller coaster ride on the financial spectrum. With his vast insight, he is a catalyst for people to realize that abundance and fulfillment begin on the inside with a strong spiritual practice. One of the leading Kabbalah teachers in the world and a full-time volunteer, his understanding of self-transformation and global change are what contribute to his tremendous success. David and his wife currently live in Los Angeles. Thanks so much for joining us today, David.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, I think we actually may have done a show together. It may have even been a year ago in April, come to think of it.
That's right. Oh, was it that long ago? I thought it was just a couple months ago.
I know, time flies. Well, I'm so thankful to have on the show today. So for those of you who might have missed the first show that David and I did together, David has been one of my mentors now for a couple of years, and I attribute much of my success, the ability to sell my company and many of the wonderful things that have happened in my life, to the principles that I learned from him, which is why it was so important to me to share this information and not just have him on the show one time, but reoccurring, so that way people can tap into whatever they're meant to learn from these principles that he's going to share today. So David, for anybody who might not be familiar with you or your background, can you tell us a little bit about how you first became a millionaire at 15 years old and then became a spiritual teacher worldwide who makes a difference for leaders around the world?
Well, I mean, it's not that fascinating of a story. I was young and hungry, and it was a time where a lot of people were making a lot of money. I took a little bit of money, invested it just in a way that was very fruitful, and made a lot of money early on, and it wasn't good for a teenager to have that level of success. So I was introduced to spirituality by a family member, and that's where Kabbalah comes into the picture, and changed my life. I knew that the secrets of life were being shared with me. It was very profound. It felt really real and true. And practical. I started applying it and saw a lot of amazing results. So where I started just immersing myself more and more into it while going to school, while still running a business, while still investing and doing a lot of crazy things. And right around when I became 20 years old, I realized that this is what I was most passionate about. So I joined as a full-time volunteer to help bring Kabbalah to the world. And it's what I've been doing for the last 15 years or so.
Yeah, and I love this because I'm lucky enough to get to go to the center. If anybody is in Los Angeles, David does lead a lot of programs here in LA, and they're a lot of fun. If you're somebody, no matter what you believe in, I was the furthest person who would have believed in some of the things that I understand now, the principles that you use in the world. But what if you could have happiness or prosperity or your soulmate relationship or whatever mattered most to you, and not just have it, but like actually have it and come to you easily and effortlessly? And that's the thing. There are many different ways to get to the same result. And what I love about some of the Kabbalistic principles that I practice and utilize is that not only do they work, but they work in a seamless, effortless way. And they're based, tell me a little bit about this, David. From what I understand, some of the principles are actually either intertwined or kind of based on science, correct?
Well, so many people have heard the word Kabbalah, but what I've learned is 99% of the people don't really know what it is, right? They've heard it. They're somewhat curious, somewhat fascinated, but they don't really know practically what it is. So Kabbalah is ancient universal spiritual wisdom that really existed since the beginning of time. And what's beautiful about what Kabbalah does is it kind of ties together all the spiritual truths that we know about. So it doesn't matter what you've learned at with any great spiritual teacher, master, religious faith, guru, you learn all these different truths, but how do you combine them all together to create a spiritual lifestyle? So the people that come to our classes who take Kabbalah 1 with us, I noticed come from every background. And it's usually people who have been on a journey of transformation and growth and success and are kind of looking for something deeper, something that puts it all together. And that's what they find with Kabbalah. And definitely, it's very scientific. Once you start to learn Kabbalah, you realize it's not hocus pocus. It's not mystical. It's not faith-based so much. It's actually very practical when you get down to it.
So let's delve into something that a lot of people out there who are listening might be experiencing. Arguably, at some point in our day, in our week, in our month, in our lives, in our years, we're going to experience chaos. So what would somebody who is studying Kabbalistic principles have to say about why perhaps a person is experiencing chaos in their lives?
Well, there's several reasons why a person will go through some form of a challenge. A challenge, by definition, is something that makes you uncomfortable, something that is taking pleasure away from you and making you feel some form of pain. It can be difficulty in a relationship, challenges in business or finances. It can be just your own feelings and thoughts about yourself. It can be a feeling that even your body is not cooperating with you, or health challenges. So we all go through these ups and downs in life. And there are these moments where we feel darkness. So the Kabbalists explain that moment of darkness happens for several reasons. Number one, our soul is on a journey of what's called correction. Our soul is meant to correct all the negativity it's ever been exposed to or carried from past lives. And that includes all the negative traits that we may have. So let's say 10 years ago, I did something and I hurt somebody. Maybe in high school, I really hurt this guy or hurt this girl. I broke someone's heart and I was really selfish about it. So I've created some darkness and negativity on my soul. And this needs to be cleansed. It needs to be corrected. Now, how do you correct something? You have to experience that pain, that fear, that negativity once again later in your life. And you have to change the way you react to it. So instead of reacting to it in a way where we normally do when we're afraid or in darkness, we get reactive. We look for instant gratification. We become takers. We become selfish. We transform that reaction to acting like a creator, to acting like all the positive forces or traits that we learn about in Kabbalah, a giving person, a compassionate person, a person with certainty and no doubts and no fears. So that's pretty much what the spiritual journey is about. So when a person is going through a dark time or a challenging time, it's an opportunity for them to correct something from their past that they've carried into this lifetime, or maybe something they've even created in this lifetime. So everything is about correction. And when you correct that part of the soul, that darkness that the soul has acquired, then all of a sudden you enter a reality that has more joy, or there are more miracles, more prosperity, or whatever it is that is ready to come into that person's life.
Yeah, and I think one of the principles for me personally that really resonates with Kabbalah and in business is this idea of being proactive versus reactive. In business, oftentimes you get a phone call, you know, from an upset client, or you get called into your boss's office, or you are the boss who gets frustrated and pissed off because of something someone did. And what's available is, if you can learn one of the Kabbalistic principles, and you can share a little bit more about this, is this idea of kind of pause, what a pleasure. And my whole team and I in my office, we kind of played this little game, is we realized that each one of us has our go-to reaction. So for me personally, it's pause, don't punish, because that's kind of my default mechanism for whatever reason, past lives, this life. I tend to go into punishing myself or others. And if I can actually just reflect and stop and pause and go, pause, okay, don't punish, and then choose something different, it can really make a big difference, not only in my life, but in the lives of the people I impact in my day-to-day world. And for other people, it might be pause, don't please, pause, don't be pissed off. But it's just this fun thing that you can begin to play with almost as a game and begin to have access to different ways of being and interacting that's immediate and not some one day maybe sort of a thing.
Exactly. So as soon as someone's fear or need for energy comes up, that pain comes up, we all have a mechanism that we run towards some form of instant gratification. It could be to please. It could be to punish. It could be substance abuse. It could be beating myself up. It could be whatever it is. Everyone has a different way that they look for instant gratification. The first step in Kabbalah to achieving miracles is when that painful or fearful moment comes up, you got to hit the pause button. You have to pause going to all the old forms of instant gratification. What a pleasure is the second thing we said, because we now have to be appreciative and happy about the opportunity that we just got to change who we are. That's the tricky part, because we have to know the universe keeps sending us certain people who awaken our negativity so that we can see our negativity and transform it. But if I'm always reacting to the people, or I think the people are the enemies, or I'm getting upset with everyone around me, so what's happening is all my energy is focused on being a victim, and none of the energy is focused on my personal transformation, which is going to bring me to the miracles, right? So this is, and it sounds great when you hear it. Everyone's like, yeah, well, I knew that, or I get that. People say that all the time, but when you're in the moment of pain, nobody has the strength, right? Everyone kind of lashes out or shuts down whatever your form of instant gratification is.
Yeah, I completely agree.
For example, I'll just say another form of instant gratification is just worrying and having doubts. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't know what's going to happen with your future, so you worry. And you worry and you think about these scenarios and you start having anxiety and stress. But that's actually a form of reactive behavior. It's something that we do because it brings us a bit of comfort. But it's not actually, anxiety and worry is not actually connecting you to the miraculous realm. All it's doing is increasing the amount of negativity that lashes onto the soul.
So given all of this, because this seems insurmountable, if I was somebody who, you know, wasn't familiar with these principles, hadn't practiced it, and I'm tuning in for the first time and hearing these ideas and concepts, this pause, what a pleasure, it seems almost insurmountable. So how do you even begin to find lasting happiness or prosperity or even better than that, miracles, when just like you said, we go, our natural default way of being is to be reactive, immediate gratification, whether it's worrying, getting pissed off, punishing ourselves or others. How do you stop that cycle?
Well, I think the most important thing is to know that the game of life is meant to be won. So even though it seems insurmountable, the Creator created us and gave us the strength and the tools that we need to actually overcome all of our negativity. One of the things that we all feel is that it's impossible, but that's also part of the test. We need to think it's impossible and then overcome it, right? If everyone could see that it was possible and everyone felt good about the spiritual work, then the game would be over. There would be no more game. There would be no more earning of this miraculous reality because we all just would do it. But the fact that it's concealed from us and it seems almost like my next level is so far away, that is part of the test. Those people who succumb and say, well, I'll never get to my next level. I can never change or never get out of my addiction. So those people stay in chaos and then there's pain that pushes them forward. But then once in a while, you get people who realize, you know what, even though I don't see where I'm going to go, even though I don't see how I'm going to overcome this challenge, I have certainty or I know that there must be a way. Those people attract the miracles. So your next level will always be the level you don't see. That's why it's called your next level. If you could see it, it would be your current level. And so that's kind of one of the concepts that we really focus on.
Yeah, and I love the concept too, that's really helped move me through different levels and processes in my own life, is this concept of desire. And it's funny because I think that we get to points in our lives where we stop desiring. You know, you might have a good marriage or a good family or a good enough job, and you stop desiring, and then things become status quo. But in my personal experience, it's equally as dangerous, because that's how it's kind of like the calm before the storm that comes in. But then once you start to desire something again, I think it was one of the principles I learned from you, David, is that if I want something really amazing, say I want to buy a house, sell a house, have $1 million, find my dream job or my soulmate, first I'm going to have to go through obstacles or challenges in order to be able to earn that. Because if you just gave it to me, I wouldn't appreciate it. Like if you just dropped my soulmate at my front door, you gave me my dream job, millions of dollars a year for the rest of my life, you wouldn't appreciate it. And you would actually not feel good about it because you didn't earn it, right? So talk to me a little bit about this idea of desire.
Correct. So the goal in life, the way the creator created our world, is so that we can have maximum pleasure. But the only way we can have maximum pleasure is if we feel we are co-creating life, and we feel we're earning our soulmate, earning prosperity, earning, you know, a good body. If we just feel that things are given to us, we don't have the vessel or capacity to enjoy them anymore, even though they are great things. A great example would be, give a 12-year-old girl $500 million. She's not going to be able to enjoy that money. It's a lot of money. It's a lot of energy. But she does not have the vessel by which to hold that energy. Give someone who worked their whole life and broke through many different things, challenges and fears, and really, really, really rose to the occasion of who they were, rose to their destiny. And then that person starts to receive a steady stream of a lot of income, starts to enjoy and appreciate that energy and feels the life that's within that wealth. So the world is designed that we have to earn everything. Most people are very familiar with physical earning. How do I earn money? How do I earn respect? How do I earn a position in life? But most people are not aware of spiritual earning. How do I spiritually earn my soulmate? How do I spiritually earn wealth? How do I spiritually earn happiness? That's what really Kabbalah is all about.
Yeah, and I love this idea too, is that it's for anybody out there who might be tuning in and thinking, gosh, what are they talking about? You're throwing out some crazy concepts. It's like having a bank account. I remember, I think this was something I may have heard you or someone else say, is that every act of kindness we do, or every time we overcome an obstacle, you're literally making a deposit in like this bank account of possibilities for the future, of what you can then leverage that positive energy that you've accumulated for. And we all use it for different things. But I love this idea that it's all kind of being accrued and you can utilize it when you want. Some of us waste it. But it's whether you're spiritual or not, you could be out there and you could be applying these principles. Whether or not you believe in God, don't believe in God, I think that it's all about how do you apply principles to your life about finding happiness and prosperity and being certain that you deserve it.
I like that. I can agree with that. That's good.
Yeah, and one of the other fun things in business too, if you don't mind, I'll share the show that I think that there was a show that you guys had done about 6 months ago, and I love this, and you'll have to correct me if I get parts of the show wrong. But so you host a weekly radio show as well, right? It's called Weekly Energy Boost. Is that what it's called, David?
Yes, that's correct.
Yeah. So David also has a phenomenal show. I was lucky enough to be on it a couple months ago, and I tune in as often as I can every Monday at 10 a.m. And he was on the show with his colleague on it, and they were talking about somebody called in and was frustrated about a situation in their lives. And this one particular person who worked with a person who was annoying them, like we've all had that person who kind of just drives you crazy at the office. And so this one person is saying, oh my gosh, I can't stand this person. She's so challenging. She's always nosy around my desk and she's driving me crazy. And what I love is this Kabbalistic principle that says you need that person in your life, as crazy and irksome as they may seem, in order to go to your next level. And I think the advice that you gave on the show was that there's probably someone who you're doing the same thing to you to in their life. And this one woman has said, no, I'm spiritual. I've already looked in my life. Nobody is doing this. And then once they delved a little bit deeper, she didn't even realize that she was doing the same thing to her husband when she would go home, who worked at home and would be totally annoying in his space, etc. And the moment that she was able to see how she was accountable for that, where she was not a victim of this woman in her office, but she was actually creating that because she was creating chaos at home, the woman got shipped to a different office like the following week. And so I'm not sure what that principle is called, but it's this idea that people are going to come into our lives. And until we confront that person, whether it's a problem colleague, a boss, a best friend, whoever it might be, you're going to keep encountering that same problem or person, even if you try to get rid of them from your life, until you see how you're part of the problem in being accountable, which scares a lot of people. A lot of us would rather spend the rest of our lives blaming somebody else for our problems.
100%, 100%. So the idea is that we all have movies that we're kind of playing a role in, right? So this is my movie. My movie is this and that, and maybe you don't like your movie. Maybe there's chaos in your movie. How do you change your movie? Well, a lot of people try to change the actors that are in their movie. So if you don't like something about your partner, you try to change your partner. If you don't like something about maybe the way you feel, or maybe the thoughts you're having, or the emotions you're having. So you try to just change your thoughts, or change your feelings, or change your body, or change your location, or change your apartment, or change your job. And the Kabbalists say that the only way you can really change a movie and get to a new level of fulfillment is you must change something inside of yourself that you've been avoiding changing. And sometimes people aren't aware of what that is. And that's why the universe is also set up so beautifully, that all the people in this world reflect or trigger some aspect of ourselves that needs to change. So either somebody will be a mirror of something I need to change, or people will just press certain buttons of mine, weaknesses of mine, fears of mine, to show me what it is that I need to change. Either way, rest assured, no matter where I go in this world, there will be a system in place to show me what aspect of myself I need to change and go to my next level and thereby experience a brand new movie.
So I love that. But what do you do if you have a difficult boss? This seems good in theory. And I'm sure many people out there are nodding their heads as they drive to work or home from work, rather, and saying, gosh, okay, yes, I get that in theory. But let's say I have a boss who is just a complete jerk. He is somebody who yells, who screams, who's always putting me down in front of other people. Are you trying to say that I should just sit there and take it because clearly this person, he's in my life and I need to learn that lesson? How do I handle it from a Kabbalistic standpoint so that way I can move past that level and into my next level?
There are two parts to that equation. The first part is I always need to ask why something's in my life, meaning why is the creator or the universe showing me this or sending this abusive person into my life? So then you may recognize that maybe the abusive person is showing you that you're a people pleaser, or the abusive person might be showing you that you don't love yourself, or the abusive person might be showing you that you don't have enough desire. So they're there to kind of awaken you, and even though they're doing it in a negative way. Once you take responsibility for that thing which you need to change, the second part of it is, when you're no longer upset, you have to confront and deal with the situation. That could be confronting the boss. That could be deciding to just leave, let's say, the company. That could be, I don't know, there's many different scenarios. But the idea is that once you transform what it is about yourself and you're no longer upset, you will receive the message of what you need to do. So a lot of times people try to plan what they need to do before they've actually dealt with what they need to change. You can't do that. You first need to go through your process of transformation. Only then will the universe reveal to you what it is you need to do in confronting the situation. But it is important to confront. A lot of people have a fear of confrontation and they only confront when they're angry. That's a problem. You sometimes have to realize that there is a moment that you need to set boundaries and confront when you're no longer upset.
Yeah, and I think it's a great principle. I remember I had a job seeker recently tell me where she had a boss who was yelling at her, and she just kind of laughed and she said, "Hey, you're going to yell at me? I'm going to get up and walk out of your office." And she wound up working with the guy for several years and having a very amicable relationship. And while everybody else in the office was terrified of the CEO, she worked with him like two peas in a pod because, she stood up to him, had enough self-worth to not take it personally, and then he had mutual respect for her because he didn't, or she didn't let him walk all over her. So I think that there is something to be said for that kind of proactive confrontation.
Correct, correct, correct. That's a great, great example. I mean, that's a person who understands her self-worth and her value and then knows how to set the right boundaries and as a result has a great relationship.
Exactly. And I know one of the other things that a lot of people are probably tuning in and thinking about today is money. Okay, Jennifer promised me I would find happiness, money, fulfillment, and success. So let's say that you're underpaid. Your whole life you've been underpaid. Other people out there are making $100,000 a year. You're making, squeezing by on $40,000 a year, barely able to make your minimum payments on your credit cards. How can you shift your consciousness using different principles in order to be able to increase your capacity to receive or to earn 100,000 or more money than that?
Well, it's very simple. Every person's case will be different, but if someone's making, let's say, 40,000 a year, and they want to make 100,000 a year, I would ask them, well, why hasn't that reality already occurred? Because a person who truly desires something, opportunities will come to them to show them how to manifest it. That's a spiritual law. If I want something, the universe will send me what I need to manifest it. So two things must be going on. Either they don't really want it, right? Because everyone says they would like to have more money, but very few people actually crave it and desire it like it's their destiny. So that could be the first problem. But they don't truly crave it. They don't truly feel they deserve it. The second possible option it could be is maybe they feel they deserve it. They feel they crave it, but the messages and signs are coming. But they're being too reactive, shut down, or lazy about seizing the moment. So certain opportunities are coming for them to rise to the occasion, to rise to the call of action, to shift their movie, but maybe they're very comfortable with their $40,000 paycheck. They're very comfortable in the job they're at. They don't want to rock the boat. They don't want to take a risk. They don't want people, they don't want friction. So usually it's one of those two things that causes the person to be stuck in one level and not grow to the next.
Yeah, and for anybody tuning in right now who maybe you are struggling with this, and maybe there's something that you really want. It might be a relationship, it might be your dream job, it might be making $100,000 or $1 million a year. I've always found this to be true, David, and I'd love your two cents on this to first start off by choosing something that's a little bit outside of your comfort zone. So for example, if somebody's making 40,000, could they go out and make 100,000? Yeah, absolutely. In California or New York or certain parts of the country, they can't even ask you what you were making before. But I find that's almost too uncomfortable for somebody to jump from 40 to 100,000. What I have seen works really well is to pick something that's uncomfortable for you, just slightly outside your comfort zone. So if the most you've ever made a year is 40,000, maybe aim for 55 or 60,000 and choose that and start to look at who would you need to be in order to create that. And then, like you said, to have that certainty and that knowing and just that desire. There's a great website. I've turned so many people onto it. It's a YouTube video called How to Manifest Anything. And I think it has 7 or 8 million likes on YouTube. And you do it for 11 minutes a day. And I kid you not, any person I've given this meditation to, if they're willing to actually do the work and to do the meditation for 11 minutes a day, exactly what you want comes true. But so many people don't do this. They don't pursue the tasks or the activity they need to do to make the money because, like you said, they actually don't want the money. They're not able to receive it because it would make them uncomfortable.
Very nice. Very nice. Great point. I love that. I love that.
Yeah, and I think
That
that
is.
that's, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was going to say that's wonderful. I love that.
Yeah, and that's one of the things I love about Kabbalistic different things is there's so many great videos. And David, I have to plug your Instagram. I love your Instagram. You are doing great things with it. And so what is it? Is it at David Guillaume? Is that your Instagram?
Yeah, it's my first and my last name.
Yeah, so Guillaume is spelled Guiyam. But I'm looking at your Insta now. And say if you just want like a little energy boost and you're thinking, oh God, I'm annoyed by my boss or my spouse or whoever it might be. I love that you post these great little memes. And for example, one says, I'm overwhelmed by all the things I need to change about myself. Dot, dot, dot. How do you handle it? Or my boss or whoever is upset with me, what's going on? And I love these little snippets where you might not have time to devote hours a day or hours a week or even hours a month to studying new concepts. But what I love is these are 60-second sound bites or little memes that you can take 5 minutes out of your day and connect to new energy and consciousness. So I definitely love them and share them with random strangers.
Oh, I love that. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Yeah, of course, David. So, what are there any other principles or any other takeaways that you would love our listeners to walk away from today's show with?
Well, what I love about Kabbalah is that it's so deep, and it's sometimes it's hard to do it justice in a small period of time. And I just tell people, if you're looking for a really universal spiritual path, one that doesn't isolate you or even make you feel uncomfortable in any way, people who study Kabbalah, usually within an hour to 3 hours, I say, their life changes, right? They understand life in a whole new way. And we've all studied so much spirituality in our lives, and we've gone through so many life lessons. Finally, what Kabbalah does is just puts it all together. Puts it all together in a unified system so that I can make better decisions in my life. And I don't have to plant seeds of chaos and waste so much time, so much energy, so much effort. Kabbalah just streamlines everything. So I really tell people, if you feel there's a spark, a desire even, explore it, try it. And it's very quick to see results, very, very result oriented. You see it right away.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. I think it must have been about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago, I had published my first book, Stop Hoping, Start Hunting, A Job Seeker's Guide to Finding Their Dream Job. And I was in the midst of my book tour, and I think I'd started studying Kabbalah in January of that year. And a month later, or 2 months later, I wound up going to Conan O'Brien's show just as like somebody who was going to be an audience. And meanwhile, I was doing a book tour elsewhere. And one of my colleagues in my office said to me, Jen, why don't you bring a copy of your book to Conan? And I'm like, Scott, I'm not being interviewed on Conan. I mean, come on. I'm just going as an audience person. And Scott said, you never know. And I think because of the principles and what I was engaged in at that moment, I was more open and receptive. Normally, I would have been reactive and running out the door. I said, okay,
Sure.
Scott, why not? I'm just going to grab that book, throw it in my purse. And on my way over to the Conan O'Brien show, I signed it as a joke to Conan. It had been right after he had been fired from The Tonight Show. And I said, haha, good luck one day finding your dream job from Jen Hill. Show up to the show. They put me in the audience and, talked to one of the PAs and said, hey, give this to Conan as a gag. And she said, you know what? He's super sweet. Sometimes he comes in the audience after the show, give him the book if he comes later or just give it to one of us. And then 5 minutes and 55 seconds into his opening monologue, he said, unfortunately, it was like a joke about sex. And I was sure I was going to be fired from all of my Am Law 100 law firms and Fortune 500 clients. And the camera panned to me and I was laughing about it. And next thing you know, I was on the show, it went viral. It has over 1 million hits now on YouTube. So if you Google search, I think Jennifer Hill and Conan O'Brien, you'll find it. And the crazy
Oh,
thing
wow.
was that I got book sales from it, everything. And I would have never been in that position. Here I was, a month or two into studying Kabbalah. And that really started to expand my horizons to realize anything is possible if you're willing to allow anything to be possible. So that's what that kind of taught me very early on from Kabbalah.
I love that. That's a wonderful story. Amazing story.
Yeah. And I just bumped into Conan a couple months ago in San Fran. I was like, hey, remember me? And he's like, yeah, how's life? Random story. So
I
life is
love that.
life's little miracles. To go back to your very first point, David, it's all about just are you open to miracles and how good are you willing to stand it? Like how much money, how much happiness are you willing to have? And who would you have to be to go through all of that? So tell our listeners, where can they find you? Where can they find out more about your radio show, about learning about Kabbalah if that interests them?
Absolutely. The basic ways, people follow me on Facebook and Instagram. I do a radio show, free radio show every week, live, and the recordings are always there on Facebook. Talks about the energy of the week and what kind of challenges you might expect. But probably the most popular way that people are studying Kabbalah and the most practical way is our most popular live seminars were filmed and cut up into a masterclass, on-demand masterclass. You can access via mobile or an app or website anywhere in the world. And that website is called KabbalahOne.com. So it's KabbalahOne.com, KabbalahOne.com. And that is by far the entirety of the spiritual wisdom of Kabbalah. And usually by the first or second class, that's when a person's life really shifts.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And are you still doing, we should have probably talked about this before the show, are you still doing the text messages to people? Because I know sometimes you send out, you know, two or three times a month, these little 3-minute energy boosts of like, hey, have you thought about this? Is that something that people would be able to access, or how would I have them?
Yeah. If they want to access my text message service where I send out little bite-sized bits of like audio consciousness, they can text the, let me see what the best word, text the word light 72, L-I-G-H-T 72, to the number 797979. And they'll be added to my list. Light 72 to the number 797979.
Yeah, I love that. It's so much fun. I forward that to people. It's so funny. Even one of my clients, you know, you wouldn't think about talking about spiritual principles in business. And had you had this conversation with me 5 or 6 years ago, I'd be mortified to be talking about spirituality in business and worried that all my clients would fire me. And what I love is how receptive we are as a society right now. I feel like we're primed right now to try something different. We've tried hate. We've tried animosity. We've tried powering our way through it. And I think that this is now a time of just allowing our consciousness to unfold, connecting to one another, no matter what capacity we might be working in the world, just from a place of, hey, how can we help support one another? And I think this is the first time where people actually want to hear this. And when I forward those little text messages I get from you to strangers, friends, clients, I get such positive responses, because if you can take 3 minutes or 5 minutes out of your week to listen to it, it can really help up level your consciousness for the rest of the week or the month.
Beautiful. Love it. Love it.
Well, thank you, David. We'll definitely have to have you on the show again. It's been such a pleasure having you on. If you missed any
portion, thank you so much.
Yeah, it's such a pleasure. And, you know, I'm so grateful to have you as my mentor and to have been introduced to you. So thank you for time today. And if you missed any portion of today's show, do remember that you can find it on iTunes later in the week under Get Yourself the Job on iTunes. You can also find the old show that David and I did if you wanted more Kabbalistic wisdom and insights. I think it was April 1st of last year, if I recall. And you can also go to the LATalkRadio.com page under Get Yourself the Job. And you can find there at the bottom of the page an archive of today's show as well as any prior shows that we've done. We invite you, please leave us any comments that you might have on iTunes, rate us. We also invite you to subscribe on Get Yourself the Job on Facebook. And sometimes I'll share articles there related to job hunting or share previous shows that you can find on there. So thank you so much for everybody who tuned in today and for your support, David, and just wishing everybody a wonderful week filled with miracles, happiness, and lots of prosperity.
You're listening to Get Yourself the Job with Jennifer Hill, only on LA Talk Radio.